blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 333, stanzas 1 through 4. How I love thy law, O Lord, daily joy its truths afford. In its constant light I go, wise to conquer every foe. 1 through 4 of Psalter 333. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, in the 15th chapter, in the first 28 verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 28. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, and when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, thou art holy, and we are so unholy. And thou dost still permit us to come together in thy holy sight, that thou hast not yet dealt with us according to our wickedness, according to our vanity, according to our carnal natures and hearts that so cleave to everything that is here below, that is to be but the blessings wherewith we may go through this life to that never-ending eternity, but we cleave to them as if they are our whole life. Lord, it is our foolishness because of our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head. And we are unable to deliver ourselves from that foolishness. We can speak it with our mouths. We can hear it with our ears. We can converse together. We can have the understanding in our minds. But we can have no impression in our hearts, because we are by nature dead, and we have no understanding, no knowledge of spiritual things, no impression of thee, of thy existence, of thy righteousness, of our wickedness, over against all thy goodness, thy long-suffering mercies. Lord, it is a wonder that thou dost not cast us immediately away when we are all our life given thy word to read, to hear, but we do not hearken, and we have turned our backs to thee, saying to thee every day and every hour, with our deeds, with our whole life, that we will have none of thee, and that we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Lord, have mercy upon us. That is our only hope and our only plea, that thou may look upon us in and through him in whom thou art so well pleased. O, thou didst testify of it when he was here upon this world, and thou didst say, hear ye him. And Lord, we have then no ears to hear him, but oh, thou can open our ears, and thou can open our eyes and our understanding in our hearts. Oh, we beseech it of thee in this day, that thou would come with thy Spirit yet, and when we are together in thy house of prayer in this afternoon, Lord, we beseech it of thee, that thou wouldst grant us that life that shall never die, that we may be born again, and that our hearts may go out with a true hunger and a true thirst after the living God, and that we might learn to miss thee, whom we have left in our deep fall in paradise, and that we may not let thee go except that thou would bless us. Oh, instruct us in thy ways and teach us, draw us. We will run after thee. It all lies on thy side, O Lord. Nothing can come from us but departure and a working of our own destruction. Oh, we must experience it every day, for the first and by renewal. Oh, that thou may give from thy side what is necessary to each and every one of us. And look on us for time and eternity. All the natural needs also are known to thee. And it is a wonder that thou art so long-suffering to us yet, despite who and what we are and remain. And then we ask it all of thee again. And we can promise thee no obedience. We cannot promise thee a better life. We cannot promise thee our hearts. But Lord, wilt thou look on us in mercy? Oh, supply, take reasons out of thyself to give also what we need in the midst of this life, for the bringing up of our children, for the passing through this wilderness here below. Oh, give us an impression that it is a journey, and that we are going to our long home, that we might learn to live it out so, that we might learn to be strangers and pilgrims here below, that are seeking a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, give us to flee all sin and vanity. Remember all the afflicted ones, those that have sicknesses, or those that are weak in the body or in the mind, and all that have troubles in this life, whatever that they are, because they are so many that sin has brought into this world. Wilt thou supply in the needs, give a cry to heaven, and give that true experience that thou art the living God, and that thou hearest those who don't deserve it. Lord, wilt thou glorify thyself in all these ways, to remember us as a congregation and as a denomination. Oh, turn us back, Lord, to the lifestyle and to that blessed doctrine and truth of thy word, that we may receive by the hand of our fathers. For we have also followed the world that has come in our hearts and that has come into the churches. But wilt thou give us to go back to the old paths, that we may walk a strict life in this world, that it may be seen by the world that we are a separate people, and that we have no desire to go along with all the customs and all the vanities that this world makes their life, and that it may be a testimony in the midst of this world and by us as a people that the world is passing away and that there is one thing that is needful. Oh, use us then, even as a little instrument in thy holy fingers, in the midst of the nation in which we dwell, day by day, each and every one of us, young and old together. And Lord, look upon our government, those that rule and reign us, that make laws on our behalf, and that are judges in our land. Oh, give a turning again to thy word and to thy testimonies. And wilt thou give us to flee from that wickedness in which we have steeped ourselves, in desecration of thy word and thy law, in desecration of thy day, and of every one of thy holy commandments. Wilt thou have dealings with us as a nation, and leave us not to go our own ways. Work in the hearts of our children and youth. Be with the school, the teachers, the principals, and all that labor therein. And bless it to the good of the children. Also those that are not instructed in our own school. But wilt thou give them instruction all together out of thy word from above. And may thou so look upon us that our children, and may it take the place of the fathers and the mothers in grace, and that it may be evident that thou still dost work among us, though that we do not deserve it. Wilt thou be with all that are in the prisons, give a true repentance, a true remorse, and when there are those in the prisons that are there for conscience sake, that are there in a wrong way, being condemned and yet innocent. Lord, may thou strengthen and encourage them, and may thou give them a little token of thy favor and of thy blessing out of thy word upon this thy day. Oh, uphold all that are distressed, all that are afflicted in this world, all that are oppressed. Oh, may thou stand for them as thou didst when thou wast here upon this world, in speaking woe to the enemies of thy church and in comforting all those that were in distress. Oh, may that also be our life, that we may be given to look upon those that are poor, and that we may extend our helping hand, and that thou thyself may remember all of us together. Oh, remember us even further in this afternoon. Lord, may thou not stay away. Oh, we can't do it, Lord, without thee. We cannot preach, we cannot listen. We are dependent upon thy Holy Spirit. Oh, may it not be only words this afternoon, but may thou bring it with power in our hearts as the great prophet. And may we be given an undeserved blessing. Oh, forgive all that is sinful within and without, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 29, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. I praise the Lord above, whose counsel guides aright. My heart instructs me in his love. in seasons of the night. The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter number 29, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Congregation, how great was the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is exactly the opposite of what we have done in our father Adam. There, where it behooved us to humble ourselves under the hand of our Maker and Creator, there we have lifted up ourselves in pride and rebellion against Him. And we have made ourselves worthy of that death which we have brought upon ourselves by His righteous judgment. But now the love of Christ to His church is made evident when He, as Paul says, humbled Himself, when He came from that place of glory, and when He took upon Himself our nature as if that He were the most guilty criminal in all this world. But now this humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ is not sufficient for you and I in itself. There had to come more for the salvation of the church of God. And we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this with you in this afternoon hour. According to our Lord's Day 17, question number 45. Lord's Day 17, question number 45. What does the resurrection of Christ profit us? Answer, first, by His resurrection He has overcome death, that He might make us partakers of that righteousness which He had purchased for us by His death. Secondly, we are also by His power raised up to a new life. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. So far, our Lord's Day. The profit of Christ's resurrection. First, He makes His church partaker of His righteousness. Second, He raises His church to a new life. And third, He pledges the church a blessed resurrection, according to the three parts of this answer. The profit of Christ's resurrection, He makes the church a partaker of His righteousness. Second, He raises the church to a new life. Third, He pledges the church a blessed resurrection. What doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? What is the congregation profit? That is, to receive some kind of gain, some kind of benefit. And we are busy to receive profit from so many things in this life. Then if we're not profitable, we are not profitable in our task here on earth, then we are giving that task up very soon. Thus we are always looking for the profit of our labors, whether they be in the field or in the home. And so we are also admonished in the Word of God to be diligent in our labors, because the riches, Solomon says, are not forever. Thus, we are all very familiar with looking for profit from our labors. We also look for profit from those things that we eat and drink, that they may be nourishing to our bodies, that it may be for our strength and health. And thus it is with so many things that we are looking for profit. And now our instructors, they are asking, what doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? So what is now our answer this afternoon to the question of our fathers? What is now the profit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for us? Is there any profit in it? Or is it the same to us today, whether Christ had risen from the dead, or whether he had still lain in the grave? What doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? That resurrection of Christ is the first step of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection, his ascension, his sitting at the right hand of his Father, and one day, in that last step of his exaltation before the whole world in a public way, to come to judge the quick and the dead. Thus, for the salvation of his church, the Lord Jesus Christ could not remain in the grave, because that grave, that was the last step of his humiliation, then he had also to arise. He had also to be exalted. That we read together, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and our faith is also vain. That means, boys and girls, when the Lord Jesus had never risen from the dead, then we had no need to gather here today. Then it would be vain for us to preach, and it would be vain for anyone, it says, to believe. To believe. And why is it that preaching and that faith is vain, that is, without profit, if Christ had never risen from the dead? Well, because preaching in itself is nothing, and faith in itself is nothing. Preaching cannot save us. Faith in itself cannot save us. But that salvation needs to be applied. Thus, it is proof that we need more than the outward revelation of that holy Word of God. That is, we need more than the objective truth, because many go lost though they have the objective truth of God's Word their whole life long. Thus, our fathers, they say, by his resurrection he has overcome death, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he had purchased for us by his death. Thus, outside of the application of that mediatorial work that the Lord Jesus has come on this earth to do, It is impossible for you and for me to receive any profit. It is not something that we can take unto ourselves. It is not something that we can apply unto ourselves. There is still more work for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, not in the meriting of salvation, but in the application of salvation. Therefore, He arose from the dead as the living God. That is, to apply it to everyone that was chosen by God from that never begun eternity. He has risen from the dead that He may take of that blood of that Passover lamb which was slain, and He may apply that blood to the doorpost of the heart of His own church. Paul says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living." In His resurrection, the Lord Jesus has overcome death. That is, in the first place, His own death. But that is also the death of His church. And what did the enemy try to do? The enemy tried to keep the Lord Jesus in the grave, as if that were possible even for that enemy to do by the hands of a few watchmen. But in this way, the devil would attempt to rob the church of their salvation. And when that blood had been shed and never able to have been applied. In the second place, the devil tries to rob that church not only of her salvation, but of her comfort of her salvation. That is, of the knowledge of His resurrection from the dead. Just as if that is not true. Just as if we must question whether the Lord Jesus truly has risen from the dead. And it is a question for many, because many deny that resurrection. And that is nothing less than a robbery of the comfort of that true church of God. But we have the testimony of men, and we have the testimony of the angels. We have the testimony even of the actions of the enemies of the Lord for the comfort of that true, tried church of God. Because the enemy himself has attempted to keep the Lord in the grave with the sealing of the stone and the setting of their watch. But it was impossible. And the angels have testified to the women that He is not here. Come, they said, see the place where the Lord lay, that it is an empty grave. We have the testimony of God's people, to whom He has appeared for 40 days before He has ascended into heaven. And all of that testimony that is for the comfort of that true church of God concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And why is that so important? Well, Paul writes of it when he says He was delivered for what? For our offenses. And He was raised again for something also. Thus, delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The resurrection of Christ was his own justification. What is that? We have spoken of that some time ago, to be justified. To be justified means that a person is right with the law, one with the law. The law is no longer against him. And therefore, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and when he was raised from the dead by his Father, then his Father has given a testimony to you and to me that all that law of God was kept by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there was nothing that stood in the way of the Lord Jesus entering into life. Justified. The Father himself giving the testimony of the complete keeping of that law of God. However, that justification was not only concerning the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For what reason did the Lord Jesus come into this world? That was not to keep the law for himself. That was not necessary. But the Lord Jesus has come to keep that law for a people who did not keep that law. For a people who would not keep that law. For a people who could not keep that law. And thus, he became man. He came in our flesh. He took upon him our own nature, that he might fulfill that law in our flesh. And it was now in that nature that the Lord Jesus was also raised from the dead. Thus it is so clear in the Word of God that we read in his death that the Lord Jesus stood not for himself because he had no sin, but that in his death he stood in the place of his church, wounded, it says, for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Thus, when he stood for that church in his death, then he also stood for that church in his resurrection. What does that mean? That means that when the Father justified the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the Father said that there was nothing owing by the Lord Jesus Christ, that in that moment that the Lord also justified his whole church with him in his resurrection. And thus we hear our fathers instructing us concerning the prophet of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, not for himself, but for us. What doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? Justification. With what does that have to do? That has to do with you and I. Very soon, you and I will be standing before the judge that is going to come sooner than we expect. And there we will either be justified or we will be condemned. There is no other way. It is one of the two. To be justified, that is the very opposite of being condemned. To be condemned, that means that the law is against us. And that the law is, that the sentence of the law is pronounced against us. But now to be justified, that is to say, not from our side, but from the side of that judge, that there is no guilt. For whom? That is not for that guiltless one, but it is concerning those who have sinned, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he hath purchased for us by his death. And what does the Lord say of you and of me? He says of us, when he looks from heaven to us, then he looks to see if there is any that does understand, and he finds none. Not one righteous, no, not one. And thus so righteously, you and I will be condemned at that judgment seat of God, except that that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is also applied in this life unto us. And it is only for that reason, and it is only on that ground, that it is possible that we are not condemned, but that we are justified in the sight of God in that great tribunal. That is only in a way of free, unmerited grace of God. But congregation, we say that must be in our life, not at our death. No, then something must take place in our life. Something between the cradle and the grave. Has that taken place in our life? Our instructors also speak of that. In our second thought, he raises his church to a new life. If the Lord Jesus has overcome death, then what is left? That means then that there is life. And when he has overcome death, not only for himself, but he has overcome death for his church, that means that there is life for his church. Thus, in the application of that justification, then the church of God receives life. That is, spiritual life. The fruit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, our catechism says, secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. When does that take place? That takes place in the day of regeneration. That takes place in the day of that new birth. Thus, in the new birth, we become alive from the dead. That is, a new life by the power of his resurrection. Now that is the question for every one of us. Do we know something of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life? The fruit of that is that new spiritual life. So how do I know that? There are people that say you cannot know that. You can never be sure of that. And that is foolishness. Can we know the difference between natural life and natural death? Are these things not opposites? Must we have confusion whether a person is dead or alive? No, there is a great difference between life and death. These are opposite. These are over against one another. And that new life can certainly be known. Thus, that is the point of self-examination. Are we a partaker of a new life? When there is death, then there is no consciousness. We are conscious of nothing. There is no feeling. There is no motion. There is no will. But in that new life, then there is a consciousness. A consciousness which did not exist in death. And that comes in that moment of that new birth. Then we become conscious. We become conscious of what? We become conscious of God. We become conscious of His existence. We become conscious of our existence in His sight. Thus I see myself not now over against my sinful neighbor. And then I may by nature see myself as righteous. But now in that new life, I see myself over against that holy and righteous God. How then do I view myself? It can be nothing but with abhorrence. That is now a mark of that new life, that consciousness of that holy and that righteous God. That consciousness of my Maker, my Creator, what I was created to do, to glorify, to honor Him. And now I see that I am without God in this world. In that new life, there is a new will. To every man belongs a will. And then also to that new man belongs a will. Thus there is feeling, there is emotion, there is desire. Desire after a Creator whom I left. There is love. That is not in a dead person. That is not in a spiritually dead man. In the new life there is motion. We begin to move. The heart begins to move. How does the heart move? The heart begins to move back unto God with desire. What do we read of the prodigal son? He rises up. That is that new life. He rises up. He says, I will return. I will go back unto my Father. That is, that new life. Is that not so different than death? Can we not know the difference between life and death? That is, the fruit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a dead man there is no comprehension. They know nothing. In the spiritually dead, that is the same. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the things of God, young people, do you feel that? The things of God. Say, when I am honest, how is that? Things of God, they are foolishness to me. I have no desire for the things of God. Thus, in life there is understanding, not given to the wise and the prudent of this world, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Then we begin to understand. What do we begin to understand in that new life? We begin to understand the Word of God. You say the Word of God. The Word of God is a mystery to me. There are so many things in that Word of God I do not understand. That Word of God is so dark. That Word of God is so covered. And that is so true. But there are also some things in the Word of God that are very, very plain. Very plain. And there are certain things that new life begins to understand very, very well. What are some of those things? God hath made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. Then we begin to understand very clearly those portions of the Word of God which show how that I have sinned and that I come short of the glory of God. And I begin to understand. Then I begin to perceive. Then I have an impression. Then I go over the world realizing that it repented the Lord that he has made me on the earth. Thus, that new life has a consciousness that does not belong to death. That new life has an understanding. That new life has a will. The dead do not eat. They do not drink. Can we not know the difference between the dead and the living? Or in that new life, then there is need for food, a need for food and for drink. That is a spiritual eating and a spiritual drinking. A hunger and a thirst for the bread and for the water of life. Can we not know the difference between the dead and the living? Those are just a few of those first evidences of that new life. And it is true that there is so much counterfeit also in this world of that new life. And yet, a counterfeit that will not bring forth the true fruits to the honor and to the glory of God. But now that new life is a life that will never die. Why will it not die? Often it seems like it is dead. Often it seems and that the fears are that it will die and that that will end in an eternal death. But it is impossible. What is the foundation of that life? That lies in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does not lie in themselves, but it has a good foundation. And as he can no more die, then that church also can no more die. Secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. Do they see always that new life? No. That is the mystery. Because that new life ought to bring forth fruits. And then there is a counterfeit life that seems to bring forth so many fruits. And that people, they have so little fruits, if any at all. Peninnah had many children. But they were all the children that were born in a natural way. And Hannah had none. She had no fruit in herself. And therefore she had to go somewhere else. That is now the life. That new life. That is from above. That is founded in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are by his power raised up unto a new life, a life wherein they learn to see their own wretchedness, a life wherein they learn to sigh and cry unto God, a life wherein they are brought to the end of their own righteousness. Why? That he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he purchased by his death. O blessed prophet of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonder when that people, that undeserving church, may be given an eye to see that. After the resurrection, the Lord Jesus revealed himself to his disciples, to the women. And they may receive what? They may receive the comfort of his resurrection. They saw that he was alive. They may rejoice in the living God. And quite soon then they were going to learn the meaning of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so that is in that new life. Because Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Then there is a new hunger, a new thirst, a new cry. There is a new rejoicing, a new sorrowing. And so the Lord is taking them out of that horrible pit and that miry clay, and setting the feet of that people upon a rock and putting a new song in their mouth. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. How is that possible? Because of the resurrection of that Son of God, the fountain of life. What does he say? Because I live, ye shall live also. And then that death that is so completely swallowed up in victory. Congregation, do we know something? Or when we are a partaker, and when we may know the beginnings even of that true new life, then we are a recipient of every one of the blessings that flow out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing first. Psalter 229, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Blessed they who in thy house abide, and they still to thee shall render praise. Blessed they who in thy strength confide, and in whose hearts are Zion's ways. Though passing through a vale of tears, like springs of joy, thy grace appears. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 229. Thank you. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. We read of Paul that he spoke on Mars Hill about the resurrection of the dead. And we read there that some mocked. That was also the way of the Sadducees. They did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And that continues to be the belief of many today. Also made evident by the cremation of the body, oftentimes where there is no necessity. The resurrection of the dead denied by many. Wherefore? Because they cannot understand it. They cannot understand how that this could be possible, that the Lord will gather the dust of mankind from the beginning to the end of the world and raise each person from the dead. Thus, because the mind cannot comprehend it, therefore it is considered to be an impossibility. Thus, we raise the rational mind above the testimony of the Word of God. There are so many things in this world that man still does not understand. And yet, we cannot deny that they are true. Thus, if the only things that were true were the things we understood, well, there would not be so many true things, because man is foolish. The power of God that is an infinite power. The testimony of the Scriptures is that there shall be a resurrection of the dead. The Lord Jesus is called the first fruits of them that slept. What are the first fruits? The first fruits was that portion of the harvest that was waved before the Lord, that portion that first came in. And the Lord was acknowledged for that which first came in reference to all that had to follow. Thus, the first fruits, and the Lord Jesus is called the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, His resurrection that has gone before the resurrection of His entire church. The resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. What is that? A pledge. A pledge that is a commitment, a binding commitment, some kind of a guarantee. Thus, the Lord Jesus, by His resurrection, then He makes a guarantee, He makes a pledge to His church that they are soon to follow Him. He is the head, they are the body. Then the head does not arise and leave that body in the grave. Thus, as Christ is exalted in His resurrection, so will it be for that true church of God. That is not a day for them to fear. No, that is a day for them wherein their body that shall be liberated from the prison, as it were, of death, from the prison, as it were, of the grave. that is a body and a soul of the true church that has been created and redeemed for the glory of the Lord. Therefore, Job, he says, after my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Congregation, what is our desire to do with our body? Boys and girls, young people, what is your desire to do with your hands and with your feet, with your body, with your mind? Have you a desire to use this body in the service of the world? This body that the Lord gave to you? This body that the Lord upholds every day by giving food and drink and health and strength? Do you know what will happen to you when the Lord would give that resurrection unto that new life, that spiritual life? Do you know what then you will want to do with your hands and your feet and your body? Then you will want to serve the Lord again. With all your might and with all your strength. That is now the desire of that new life. Do you know what is the disappointment now of that new life? That they cannot do that. That they have to experience more and more in that new life. That there is a law in their members, in that body, a law. It's not the exception, but it's the rule of my flesh. You know what it does? It goes out after the world. Goes out after sin. Goes out after everything that is vain here below. And it has no desire for God. That is now the burden. That is now the sorrow of the heart of that new life. And now do you know what the Lord Jesus does? The Lord Jesus makes to that people a pledge, a guarantee. And he says, my people, soon you are going to follow me. And in this life you may have a small beginning of that new obedience. And your transgression, that is to the continual sorrow of your heart. But I pledge to you, with my resurrection, that soon you are going to follow me. And then you are going to leave behind all that desire for sin that was in that body. And all the imperfection. All the desire for the things of the world. And then you're going to receive the fullness of that desire which I have placed in your heart in that day of that new birth. That desire to serve the Lord with your whole body, your whole soul, and your whole life that I planted in that new birth, that I'm going to finally give it to you. When you may arise, and when you may follow me into that place where sin shall enter no more. Oh, is that not a blessed pledge? Is that not a blessed guarantee? Is that not a blessed promise that God's people shall receive their desire in all their grief and all their disappointment and all with themselves in this world. Congregation, what doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? It is going to be a blessed resurrection on that last day for that true church of God. It is going to be for them the final deliverance. When the body of sin is left behind. But how is it going to be for us personally? What doth the resurrection of Christ profit me? What doth the resurrection of Christ profit you? Is that spiritual death a burden to you? Do you sorrow over that? Is it your burden that you lie dead in sins and in trespasses? Oh, that new life, that is already a blessed resurrection from the dead. That's a life, maybe you say, young people, that I don't want to receive it yet. Because then I cannot have my fill of this world. Oh, that blessed, blessed resurrection from that spiritual death is a resurrection for which you will glorify God for time and for eternity. Oh, never will you be sorry for that resurrection. A blessed resurrection. It is the beginning of a new life, and that new life never dies. It is an eternal life. But if we never know the power of this resurrection in our life, oh, then what will be our resurrection from the dead? Because it will not only be God's church that will arise with their bodies, but it will also be the whole world. And then to receive in our body the just judgment of God, body and soul, because of our transgression and our rebellion against Him. You say, I cannot raise myself from the dead. Oh, that is so true. But the Lord has given us the means that we may be raised from the dead. Oh, stay close to those means. Who gave them? We did not give them to ourselves. The Lord gave them to us. Tell that to the Lord. Go on your knees and bring that holy word of God before Him and say, Lord, why? Why dost thou give me thy word and my children? Oh, may thou bless and sanctify that word in my life for the resurrection from the dead. God will receive all the honor. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, forgive all that was sinful within and without. Bless thy word. Thou wilt raise every one of us from the dead. Oh, what a day that shall be. Give us to meditate on those things. Because we are those that push it away. And we would deceive ourselves for that never-ending eternity if thou dost not prevent it and stop us on our way. Oh, give us instruction. Use thy word to that end. Bring us safely to our homes. And wilt thou give us what we need also in this night, each one in our places. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Wilt thou give what we need also in the week to come. Remember those who hope to be united in a bond of holy matrimony. Lord, wilt thou thyself bind them together and all of us, that we may seek that blessed marriage between thee and our soul. Wilt thou be with all of us in our calling in this life. May we use it for this life, but may we not abuse it, and that we may seek to be founded and grounded in that on that solid rock, Christ Jesus, as a wretched and an undone sinner, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 32, stanzas 3 and 4. Perhaps we should sing 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter number 32. Lord, hear the right, regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Send thy approval from on high, my righteousness make clear. Thou in the night my heart has tried, nor found it turned from thee aside. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter number 32. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.